Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
You know, if you're a fan of the Badgers, they beat Iowa yesterday, and Linda and I, my wife and I, watched the Badgers, I'm going to say religiously, but I don't know that that's appropriate. And of course, we're fans of the Packers, and whether you're a fan of Scott Walker or not, that's your personal whatever. If you're not, you know, there's another election coming. If you are, good for you. This is not a political speech. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Whether you're a fan of the Badgers or Walker or the Packer or whatever, you know, if you're not a fan of Jesus, the other stuff, that's just gonna go by the wayside. But if you're a fan of Jesus, you're a winner. You're a winner. And this morning, I want to declare that I was thinking about this on the way here this morning, how these 60 years, I know I don't look it, but these 60 years, you go through a lot of stuff in life, and the ups and downs, and I just spent 3 weeks on my back, you know, with the sciatica thing going, and the whole time, just a sense of God's presence in that bedroom, you know, barely making it to the bathroom and back, but if you're a fan of Jesus, you know, he's promised in his word that he would never leave, he would never forsake, he's just always there, and I can attest to the fact that he has always been there in my life, and I thank God for that. I was so impressed this morning, too. I just want to mention, so impressed with this family, the Hendersons, close to the Hendricks sons, the Hendersons. I don't think we're related, are we? Brother from another mother or something like that. God bless you, folks. I agree with your pastor. You are being sent as missionaries to Alaska. God bless you. That was wonderful. Well, my aim and my prayer for this morning is to speak God's word to you concerning cross-cultural missions. That has been the assignment given to me, and I want to do so in such a way that everyone who hears this message today in this room will prayerfully consider taking the next step of engagement in God's great purpose to make disciples for Jesus into every people group of the world. You see, I believe that for a number of you today here at New Life Sparta, God has been at work in your life perhaps for days or weeks, maybe months, maybe even years, to bring you to a decisive point in your life even this morning. We're not looking for impulsive decisions, but rather we're looking for decisive steps or decisive turns in a journey. This life is a journey. And the message is, this is a new message I haven't preached in other churches. But I pray this morning that what we share will be life-changing and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I believe to that end, we should again pause and pray and ask God for help. Would you do that? Would you pray for me? Father God, we're so grateful for what you're doing in this church. The life that we amazingly sense here today, and just a sense of who you are, God, your presence here. It's so very real. And I ask that, humbly, God, I ask that you would touch my life and anoint this message, and may our spiritual perception, our ears and our eyes would be open to see and to hear what you have for each of us. And so we just commit this time to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. And I had to borrow the pastor's Bible. You can see that he reads this book. My iPad, I've been preaching out of my iPad because I wanted to look cool, you know. So I've been doing that for a few years. And it died on the way here. And so I said, give me your Bible. And so we're preaching from the real book today, okay, and not from an iPad. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to a missionary text, Matthew chapter 28. And, of course, we're going to preach from this text today since this is Mission Sunday for New Life. And what you're going to discover as we get into this, you're going to discover that this text, Matthew 28, where we're going to begin at the 18th verse, is really divided into three divisions. And what I'm going to ask you to do this morning at halftime between the Packer game, you know, and the Vikings, I'm going to ask you to find a quiet moment during halftime and take some of these points this morning that we're going to share with you and just meditate on it, if you would, please. The first part of my message is taken from the 18th verse of Matthew 28, where Jesus, it says, came up and spoke to them and said, all authority, say it with me, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, this is a missions text. Right away, I want you to first recognize Christ's claim for authority. It all has to do with missions. Jesus claims that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. I think it'd be well for us to review what was accomplished when Jesus came to this earth. First, recognize again that he came to die. He came to die for our sin, to triumph over guilt and condemnation. And then he was raised from the dead to triumph over suffering and death. And in triumphing over guilt and condemnation and suffering and death, he has also triumphed over Satan, who can only destroy us with guilt of sin and torment us with suffering and death. And because Jesus has triumphed so gloriously over guilt and condemnation and suffering and death and Satan, therefore, as Paul said to the church at Philippi, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Which is just another way of saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. All authority. He has authority over Satan and his demons, over all angels, both good and evil. He has authority over the natural universe, over natural objects with its laws and forces, the stars, the galaxies, the planets, and that meteorite that we landed on just a couple of weeks ago. And he has authority over all weather systems, winds and rains and lightning and thunder and monsoons and hurricanes and tornadoes and cyclones, and he has authority over all of their effects, the tidal waves and floods and fires, and he has authority over all molecular and atomic reality, the atoms and protons and electrons and neutrons and undiscovered subatomic particles and quantum physics and genetic structures and DNA and chromosomes. Should I go on? He has authority over all plants and animals and over all parts and functions of the human body, every beat of the heart, every breath of the diaphragm, every electrical jump over a million synapses of your brains. He has authority over all nations and governments with their congresses and legislatures and presidents and kings and premiers and courts and over all armies and weapons and terrorists, and he has authority over all entertainment and amusement, over education, research. I have this long list in my notes, science and discovery. He has authority over crime, over violence, over families and neighborhoods and the church, and over every soul and every moment of every life that has ever been or ever will be lived. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has all authority. all authority. There is nothing in heaven or on earth over which Jesus does not have all authority, that is, does not have the right and the power to do as he pleases. Jesus, both the right and the power. The scope, friends, and the magnitude of the authority of Jesus is infinite because Jesus Christ is one with God the Father. The Father has given him all authority, not because the Father can give up being God, but because Jesus is God. Our Lord Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth because Jesus Christ is God. And that is the divine claim of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. Hear it this morning. He has all authority. All authority. But then I want you to look at the text again. And just for a moment, skip over verse 19 and go to verse 20, where Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth," even to the end of the age, rather. Here we see Christ's great statement of comfort. First, there is his claim of authority, but then there is his offer of comfort. "I will be with you to the end of the earth." Of the age. Now notice who it is who gives this comfort to us. It is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Now I'm praying and have been praying that God would open our spiritual eyes this morning to see what this really means to you and to me and how it relates to the subject of missions. Notice this Jesus with all authority over every enemy, over every disease, over every calamity, over every futility, promises that he is going to be with you. And it's really because of the new covenant that was bought for us with the blood of Jesus. "I will be their God, and they shall be my people," Jeremiah 31, "and I will not turn away from them to do them good, Jeremiah 32, "I will work together everything for their good," Romans 8, 28, "I will help you, I will strengthen you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness," Isaiah 41, "and so that we can face the worst threats," we can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, "Everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength." Who speaks this to us? It is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. "Lo, I will be with you always." Literally, all your days without break, this all-powerful, all-ruling Christ. He doesn't take lunch breaks from his promise of always being with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, "Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never fail you, I will never forsake you." Notice the duration there of his comfort, namely, "To the end of the age, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Friends, listen, as long as this world lasts, Jesus will be with us in this world. This is the comfort of Christ that is offered to all who belong to him. The one who has put all of his enemies under his feet and has died for us and risen for us and triumphed over sin and guilt and condemnation and suffering and death and Satan, and who has all authority in heaven and on earth. This one comforts us by promising to be with us continually to the end of the age and to do us good, to bring us home safely to eternal joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are still with me this morning? Which brings me really to the target of my message this morning, and that is his command, where he says, "Go and make disciples." Go and make disciples. There in verse 19, we find the Lord's last command to us before leaving for heaven. And here's where we address missions. Notice the order again. Christ's claim of authority and his comfort, since all authority belongs to Christ and since he will always be with us to the end of the age, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is Jesus' last command, right here. Do you know that there is not a culture or an ethnic group or a society or a religion or a language where Jesus does not have the right to be worshipped as Lord? He has authority to be King and Lord and Savior everywhere to everyone. This is the reason he commands us to make disciples of all people of the world. The authority and lordship of Jesus over every other religion and culture and society and over all gods, it's the basis of world missions. It's why we go, we send, we give. This is the basis. Jesus Christ, the living, all-authoritative Lord of the universe, has commanded us to call every nation, every people, every religion, whether it be Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, animist, to repent and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance of eternal life with the one true God. Jesus has commanded us to go and make disciples among every people. Listen, Christianity is a missionary faith. 100 years ago, this year is the 100th anniversary of the Assemblies of God. And the Assemblies of God fellowship, or whatever you want to call it, denomination, fellowship, I don't care what you call it. I'm just saying the Assemblies of God was birthed on the premise that it would be a missions giving, missions going, mission sending church. Our very reason as a fellowship was and is all about missions. That's why we build these buildings. It's why we gather. We are all about missions. And as a movement, our constant aim is to make disciples in every group and build up the church among every people. We don't send or spread our faith by war or violence. We don't cut off heads or, you know, that's, you know, but we do so by the proclamation of great news, and we do so by persuasion, and we do so by the demonstration of love. Let me be very, very clear. You know, we're talking about, in a sense, missions as it relates to reaching the unreached people groups. But this is your mission field as well. You're going to build this church by just simply loving on your neighbors, bringing them, inviting them. And, you know, I know I've preached here before, and I don't remember what I preached in the past, but let me just share real quick something that happened at Northridge. You mentioned the church in Marshfield. Your parents, they drove 70 miles one way. Are they here today? They're not here today, are they? Why not? Did they hear I was going to be here? What's the deal here? Let me tell you about a young mom that came into the church, and this is your Jerusalem, you know. You know, Jesus gave the strategy. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is your Sparta. I like to think of it in terms of a 50-mile radius. I remember a young mom that came into our church by the name of Piper. Piper brought her two little little kids with her, little preschoolers, and one little kid was, one of the kids was, he was handicapped, and she was not made to feel terribly welcome in other churches in the community. Well, Piper came in, and she almost immediately, you know, found Christ and committed her life to Christ, and I baptized her, And it wasn't long after that that she was dragging her husband to church. Now, Harry Cohen, who was Jewish, he was a physician up at the hospital, but he was also an atheist, because most Jews today are atheists. And he would come to kind of sit with his handicapped son in Sunday school. And so I used to kind of brag a little bit that I was the only AG pastor who had a Jewish atheist teaching Sunday school. But that's a joke, folks. But Harry came for three years, and I can't say it was my great preaching that drew him to Christ. I will tell you that it was a lot of backyard barbecues and football games that the men in our church were very diligent to include Harry. And 3 years into it, we went out for lunch one day, and we were sitting at some little restaurant, and he put his sandwich down, and he said, "Pastor Galen," he said, "now, let me get this straight." He said, "I need to know, if I decide to never become a Christian, a follower of Christ, can I still come to your church?" And I said, "Harry, know that we just love you to death. You will always be a part of our church. Whether you choose to become a Christian or not, our doors are always open to you." And that following Christmas, Christmas morning, Harry called me at 10 o'clock in the morning, and he said, "Pastor, I want you to be the first to know that at Christmas Eve service yesterday, I accepted Jesus Christ into my life." But it's because we just loved on this guy. We just loved on this guy. Well, that summer they came to me and they said, "We're feeling like we're gonna go to another state, Bloomington, Illinois. We're gonna start a practice there." And I felt badly because I felt like we hadn't really given a lot of time in discipling this guy. But they went and started a practice today. He's an elder in his church there. And that's basically what it's all about, just loving, that demonstration of love. So let me just bring this thing to a close. So here we have the Word of God from the mouth of Jesus, his amazing, astounding claims, "All authority is given to me," his loving statement of comfort, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age," and his last command to all of us, "Go and make disciples among all the peoples of the world." What is very, very clear from this final word of Jesus is that he is trying to move us, to simply act. Just simply act. Do something. He not only says, "Go make disciples," but he gives us the warrant, a warrant for doing so, that we can know that it is legitimate, it is the right thing to do. All authority in heaven and on earth is his. And he gives us tremendous encouragement and comfort and strength to go, with the promise that he will go with us and never leave us. And Jesus ended his earthly life with these words because he wanted you and me to respond. He was motivating us to act, to do it, to go, to love. And what I want to say this morning, friends, today is the day to respond. My aim and my prayer, and I prayed about this on the way here this morning, 2 hours, my prayer is that every one of you in this place will take the next step of engagement in world missions. It might be a baby step. Perhaps you're new to faith and you what are you talking about, Galen? We can help you with that. It might be a giant step for some of you. For some, maybe the next step would be a decisive step of preparation to go as a missionary to an unreached or a less reached people's group of the world.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.